are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November 13th. Some John Wall trade debate, my take on the Pistons trading situation, if there is a situation, and another Pistons podcast and website to talk to you about today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter over a decade as well. Taping this on Monday night, pretty fatigued, battling the sickness all weekend and just trying to battle through it tonight for you guys, the listeners of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to be talking trades. I opened the floor to you guys a little bit, so we're going to hear from some of your ideas, some of the banter we had on Twitter today as well. I'm going to give my take on what the Pistons should and shouldn't do a little bit later on, but then we're going to hear from Matt Way of Motor City Made, a new website about the Pistons with a podcast coming out soon. He's going to tell you about that coming up as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. First, a quick update on the Pistons in case you forgot. Well, we're in the same place we were on opening night, the same amount of wins and losses ratio-wise, I guess, which, by the way, is my guess for where they'll be in two games from now after Toronto and Cleveland, and also four games from now if you look at the schedule. Like I said, pretty easily predictable loss coming up at Toronto on Wednesday night, pretty predictable loss the following Monday at home against Cleveland, and then I'm predicting a home-and-home split with Houston one way or another, not to say that the win will certainly be at home and the loss certainly on the road, but Houston's struggling right now. Not as much of a difference in these teams in terms of one team possibly getting both of those wins. So like I said, one way or another, I'm predicting a split in that one. I could be wrong about those, but I doubt it. So like I said, I think on Black Friday, we'll be maybe sitting here 8-8 and still having the same exact questions about these Detroit Pistons. But some winnable games on the November slate after that. So possibly, you know, three straight wins. I think it was the Knicks, somebody else bad, and the Bulls. So a chance, and I mean, when I say bad, I meant like one of the dregs, like one of the real bad teams. So home games should finish off the month 3-0. But then if you look, go ahead and if you want to, that's some nightmares tonight, look at that early December schedule for the Pistons, really up until about the 19th, even 21st, with that at Minnesota game being the last one of the stretch. Wow, you want to bank some wins before that. And again, we told it to you last year about this time. There will be a losing streak coming for this team. It's going to get ugly. And January is not much better. I mean, I know there's a lot of good teams in the NBA, not a lot of dregs out there anymore these days. So, I mean, this is a team that's got to get better and got to get better very quickly. And like I said, 500 out of these next four games, and then hopefully those three layups, you can take care of those and maybe even bank even another win or two more than that, because things are going to get really tough come early December. But like I said, Wednesday night, the Pistons are in Toronto for the Dwayne Casey reunion tour for the coach against his former team. Interested to see how that shakes out. We will get into the Raptors tomorrow. But yeah, they are a very good team. And like I said, as a tired, lazy podcaster last night, I handed this one off to you for some trade talk. And the impetus of this is basically just watching this team and seeing where you're at as a 500 team. And a lot of you folks out there who want to tear it down, I understand that. I completely see where you're coming from. But I think sitting at 500 with the offensive and defensive deficiencies that this team has, I think it's maybe the worst thing you can do going forward. And like I said, the new shiny front office, it appears owner Tom Gores, to his credit, spared no expense in bringing in top talent to this team and Aaron Tellem in the organization. Ed Stefanski, a respected veteran front office guy from Memphis, Malik Rose from Atlanta, Sachin Gupta from Houston doing the numbers. Pat Garrity is still here. Greg Polinsky from Brooklyn, another advanced stats guy from the Warriors, who works along Dwayne Casey and Sammy Gelfin from Golden State. You know, the assistant coaching staff looks strong and accomplished as well, resume-wise. These guys all came here with nice salaries. They came here with ideas and theories. It's like when you have, like, those work retreats, right? And I don't know about these at all because I'm a live in journalism and no media entities have any money to do stuff like this. But and some of you folks out there, maybe you have like that work retreat where you go up somewhere for the week or you go up somewhere for a long weekend or something, and you bring your one big idea and your three small ones or something like that. Maybe the Pistons, you know, had some meetings like that, collaborate on all these guys that have their own backgrounds, their own ideas about the league. And who's got the big idea? And hopefully by now they've kind of settled into something. And I know that Vince Ellis had the article that said that you want to get a 20-game sample size before you start doing anything. But I don't know how much difference 12 games is from 20 games. I know from a purely numbers perspective, you can't probably make big sweeping conclusions. But you know, we've watched Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond play together for many years now. We've watched Ish Smith play in the NBA for many years now. Blake Griffin is, you know, probably the one untouchable guy on this team for two very good reasons. One, he's the best player on the team, and two, he's got the contract that a lot of teams are going to undervalue. So you bought it for Blake Griffin's contract, for better or worse, so far this year for better. But obviously there's a skeptical look at what Blake's contract is going to look like in a few years down the road. So like, what I'm saying is I think that the front office might have some ideas, and I think sooner rather than later they're going to climb to some sort of conclusion going forward. But I pose some of these questions to you guys, particularly pertaining to the backcourt with Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith struggling so much against Charlotte on Sunday, Tony Parker and Kemba Walker. We certainly don't want to overreact from one game, but I don't think to say that Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith are not good enough of a 1-2 combo in terms of your depth chart at point guard to stop very good point guards and to advance in the playoffs against a lot of teams. Not to say that every team has someone that's going to expose you quickness-wise and offensive-wise, but most teams, most good teams in this league, certainly have a point guard that's going to make you pay for having guys that size and that deficient defensively that aren't going to be able to get it done. So that's my big thought about this team is that, offensively the Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond fit is probably going to be always awkward. And there's always, and I threw out a trade possibility for Andre Drummond last week. He's since played a lot better since he did from the stretch that I offered up the trade. But yeah, I would still consider trading him. And again, that's not a guy who you're dumping. He's a very good player. He might be an all-star for the third time in his career this season with the 2020s. 2020s aren't what they used to be. We've talked about that, but still impressive nonetheless. But so I kind of turn to the guys like Reggie Jackson, the guys like Ish Smith. Reggie Jackson not being a sunk cost, but certainly not the asset that an Andre Drummond or a Luke Kennard is. And then again, guys like Stanley Johnson, guys like Luke Kennard, who still have some value around this league. And then you can bring up the picks as well. And I know that there's a lot of Pistons fans that cringe at the thought of trading another first-round pick after dealing one for Blake Griffin this year. But the Pistons can do it within the rules. You can't trade future consecutive first-round picks, but the Pistons are not in a situation where they would have traded any of their future first-round picks at this point. So the Stepien rule does not apply as of now going forward to the Pistons' 2019 first-round pick. So that can be on the table. So Alexander Fudge on Twitter was the first to chime in. He says, Reggie Jackson and a first-rounder to Washington for John Wall. Capitalize on the buzz of this year's draft and the Pistons' subpar record to get Wall in a move similar to Blake last year. Wall makes Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin's lives a lot easier, moves the needle. Shea season 16-2-1, a big Michigan fan on Twitter says, Reggie Lure and a first-round pick for Saneranski and Wall, Tomas, the backup point guard for the Wizards as well. Alexander Fudge went on to also say, other players that I think could help us are Wayne Ellington and Kyle Korver. We desperately need more consistent shooting, send a 2 and expiring for them. I think there's going to be, for those kind of guys, there's going to be a bigger market. Certainly Korver's a guy that could get moved by the Cavaliers, who are probably an asset, or not probably, or certainly an asset accumulation mode. I don't know if you're Miami, if you're looking to dump Wayne Ellington right now, you're a team that should be in the playoff hunt all season as well. The Detroit Bad Boys Twitter account chimed in on Alexander's first ideas. And I think this is Sean Corp that runs this account, by the way, one of the Detroit Bad Boys writers. Sean, send me a DM and just kind of verify that at some point if you ever hear this. But again, it's not like it's a collective writer's account. It's one of the guys from the site kind of runs it. But anyway, he says that he's taking exception to Alexander's theory about the number one and Reggie for John Wall, saying if you're taking on Wall's contract, you can't also give up a first rounder. And I think I saw the same account, like I said, I think it's Sean, said that and throughout the trade machine screen grab that Reggie Jackson for John Wall straight up works with the NBA trade machine with no pick thrown in there. Alexander comes back. The fact that we're getting type of talent locked up is amazing. If the Wizards aren't losing, we're not even discussing acquiring this talent. He's easily a top five point guard in the league now. We're stuck with Reggie's contract. There are rumors out there on John Wall to be traded. And as Anthony John chimed in as well, another one of the writers for one of the sites out there, Anthony, a listener as well, chimed in that he thinks that there's a trade kicker involved with John Wall. And there is, since his Supermax contract kicks in next season, there would have to be some sort of settlement paid out to John Wall from the Washington Wizards. So that would be something that has to be taken into consideration as well. Wouldn't really affect, I don't think, the trade and the contract number, but there might be some considerations that had to be made within the league office and the collective bargaining agreement about what that means when you have a Supermax contract kicking in and then you make a deal for that guy before that contract actually even kicks in. So it's kind of an unprecedented situation. Certainly a deal can be made, but there's just some extra considerations and accounting that would have to be done because of that. Another feedback we got from the Google Voice line from Michael Julius texted in: I think that we have zero shot at winning a title. I'd rather sell off assets like Drummond and Reggie Jackson's and Blake and get draft picks. This draft class is loaded. Imagine getting two top picks. We would change our franchise for the next 10 years. And he also made mention about Zion and RJ Barrett and his last name escapes me, but Cam Reddish, maybe something like that for Duke, the top three guys there that might be the top three guys in the draft. And we will see how that shakes out as the winter goes on. But yeah, definitely some freaks out there. And again, I don't think I'm ever going to be that guy who I don't advocate the rebuild unless it's absolutely necessary. I think rebuilds are painful, especially in this town, in this time for the Pistons, where we've sat through 10 or 12 years of garbage. Until a rebuild is absolutely necessary at this point, I think you kind of hold off on some of that. But I would never tell someone who, especially in a situation like the Pistons where they're kind of stuck right now, if you're of the belief that you should sell off some of those assets, get some draft picks, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong. It's certainly a valid opinion, and a lot of people out there share it, especially people who are disillusioned with this team right now. And there's a lot of folks out there that love the Pistons back in the glory days and don't really see a clear plan. But like I said, just got a funny feeling about the front office kind of settling in and might have some big ideas here going forward. But I'll have my thoughts on some of these trade ideas that we just talked about up next. But, you know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's about what team to bet on the NBA schedule. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Now, trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only be recommending this service to my listener if it's been good to me, and that is why I am urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They've got in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy NFL guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, 100% up to $1,000. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. What can go wrong, man? $1,000 free just for signing up if you plug in that full 1G. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we will talk to Matt Way of Motor City Made, the new website and also upcoming podcast about the Pistons. Another thing, I'm taping this segment, by the way, a few minutes after the Caris LeVert injury happened for the Brooklyn Nets on Monday night. We had him on the show last year, a Michigan Wolverines player. Best wishes out to Caris LeVert. Sounds like it was ugly from what I've heard about it. You know, maybe season ending, career derailing in some ways, injury. We know about the injuries he had at Michigan and also the ones that affected his draft status, dropped him right below the Detroit Pistons, you might remember, but just was having an outstanding start to the season, some comeback player of the year buzz, or not most improved, I should say, player of the year buzz. Hopefully he'll get comeback player of the year consideration someday down the road. And I don't know anything in particular from what it sounds like, and I haven't seen video. Would not care to see video, probably. It sounds like this is probably a season-ending type of injury for him. So we're, you know, sending our best wishes to Caris LeVert. And but, you know, as tacky as it sounds, this is the best player on a team that the Pistons are contending with a playoff spot for. And if you were a Brooklyn Nets fan who thought that things could come together and Caris LeVert could have a superstar type or a star type of season, maybe even play his way to a fringe all-star consideration, and that Brooklyn could be a nice little Cinderella story. Well, it sounds like if Caris LeVert, if the injury is as bad as it sounds, that would probably not be happening. Moving the Brooklyn Nets back down to the also-ran place, which, you know, and again, we continue to sound tacky talking about what the injury could possibly mean for the Brooklyn Nets, but really, with now that they finally have their first-round pick, this might be the year that they should actually be tanking and still be in talent accumulation mode. So, you know, who knows? But again, best wishes out to Caris LeVert. And people on Twitter are just fired up about not seeing this video on their timeline. Don't retweet this on my timeline, which is fine, and I kind of agree, but that maybe, and people shouldn't put it out there. Certainly you can find it if you want to, I'm sure. But people are just being very sanctimonious about it. This got me a little bit of a laugh and after a sad situation. And again, yeah, a local guy that we're hoping the best for here from the Locked On Pistons podcast. But some of my thoughts from the trade situations that we talked about in the first segment. First off, it seems to me that Washington might need a little bit more time to see how things go. I think they got the win tonight and moved to 3-9 on the season, but maybe it's that bad. I haven't seen the Washington Wizards play this year. I saw them play in preseason. John Wall was mixing it up with some of the fans at the on the baseline there, the court side that I was sitting near, and just, you know. But this is the same team that signed him to a Supermax just last year. Huge money kicking in starting next year on his four-year deal. This is the last year of his previous contract. So much money, close to $200 million that he's going to be making in that Supermax. Zach Lowe of ESPN.com said in his dissection of the Washington Wizards lately that, quote, "We might be down to one plausible candidate to send Washington real value for Wall at some point over the next year plus." And he singled out Phoenix as that team, run by an impatient owner, Robert Sarver, without a seasoned GM to check his most dangerous impulses. We know how Phoenix already got rid of their GM, Ryan McDonough, earlier this year and have James Jones basically running the team right now. An end quote, obviously, for Zach Lowe's piece there. But John Wall, man, $38 million next year, $41 million the year after that, $47 million due the year after Blake Griffin's current contract comes off the books for the Pistons, whose next 3 years after this year, where he's making, I think, about $31 million for Griffin, by the way, 34, 36, 38. So next year, if the Pistons acquired Wall, 38 and 34 for Wall and Griffin. The year after that, 41 and 36, Wall and Griffin. The year after that, 44, 38, with Wall left for $47 million the year after that. I mean, obviously, if you were to make this trade, there's no way to avoid being a luxury tax team starting next season. Probably have to find a way to continue to avoid it this season, because if the Pistons are going to go into that first year of the luxury tax next year, the penalties for year two as a repeat luxury team become even more steep. So yeah, you're $30 million past the cap. Well, that $30 million becomes, I don't know, I think like $80 or $90 million when you keep paying all this taxes. Gets even more than that with the repeater tax. So you become like a salary cap anomaly in some ways, like the Miami Heat are right now. Oklahoma City with the Paul George contract that they signed, they're going to be a repeater year after year. Golden State, obviously they're winning championships, so they don't mind that much there. But got to thinking about some of these deals you guys threw out there. And I'll agree about the with Detroit Bad Boys that first off, the straight-up Reggie Jackson for John Wall trade proposal. I just don't see Washington doing that. I think they need more assets in return. One guy who's still overpaid for one more season doesn't quite do it for me. But that said, throwing in a first-round pick and being Reggie and a first round pick for John Wall feels like too much from the Pistons end to just to give up that first round pick. So I was playing around with the trade machine. The trade does work, by the way, on the trade machine, Reggie for Wall straight up. So the next thing I did was say, well, why don't we throw them the first round pick, but then they've got to do something for us and take John Lewis' contract, which we know is an onerous one for the Pistons and one that's a problem for this cap sheet. So in return, maybe the Pistons give up Lure, and then it feels like they need something back there, and then you got to make the salaries match. So maybe you get Markieff Morris. But then again, that felt like maybe a little bit too much, that Lure for Morris is like a positive asset that we're getting, a negative asset we're shipping away. Maybe that even nullifies the first-round pick. So really what I came back to is the proposal that was sent in by Reader on Twitter, or sorry, listener, and the handle is TravyGV1, TravyGV1. And that's Reggie Jackson, John Lure, and the first-round pick for Tomas Satoransky and John Wall. And I think that's, I don't know. I know there's some Pistons fans out there that are rolling their eyes at me even considering the option of bringing on another $30 plus million player as a second one, a $40 million player the first time per season for John Wall in his last 3 years of this contract. But again, I just think that you've put yourself in a situation where your cap sheets are screwed up for the next 3 years with Blake Griffin, for right or wrong. That's the reality for the Pistons. In that situation, you're not getting free agents. You got you're tied up and you're top heavy on your cap sheet. In that situation, why not just go all in, right? You got the bird rights for guys like Reggie Bullock. You're probably going to let Stanley Johnson go. You're looking at minimum salary guys, the Jose Calderones of the world, the Zaza Pachulias of the world, filling out your contract. You already got Glenn Robinson III locked down for next year as well. Same thing goes for Luke Kennard for next year and the year after that. Like I said, Stanley Johnson walks in this scenario. Ish Smith is gone. You know, you can't bring in anything other than minimum salary guys going forward. But, geez, John Wall, Andre Drummond, and Blake Griffin at the top of your roster. I know that John Wall's been a problem. I know the knees are a problem for him. I know he's already 28 years old. At the end of this contract, he's 32 with the knee situation. Missed a big chunk of games last year with the tendonitis. And when his athleticism goes, that's going to be a problem. He's shooting a career low, under 30% from three-point land right now. He was 37% last year. So, you know, it's a small sample size at the beginning of this season. But 37% was pretty good, obviously, last year for him. So he showed some strides there. Certainly not a guy you think of as a leader, but definitely a guy who plays defense, definitely a guy who's tough. You know, his effort's been questioned at the defensive end at times, but the ability's there when he's healthy is going to be the thing that comes up again, as it has for Blake Griffin. But again, am I crazy? I probably am, but I say entertain the idea of bringing John Wall in here for the Detroit Pistons. But the Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram, like trading for John Wall and Blake Griffin and paying the same two guys, $70 million a year. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net, and you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA team on one feed. It's amazing during games, breaking news, and to get the local perspective. On Instagram, Locked On NBA Net is giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram feed and longer cuts on the biggest stories of your regular feed as well. The Instagram story's got those one-minute chops there. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Next, we're going to be talking to Matt Way of Motor City Made, the new website, and also the upcoming podcast. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and now we're being joined by Matt Way of the MotorCityMade.net website and also the Motor City Made podcast. Matt, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Matt.
So tell me about the site. It's relatively new that you guys got Motor City Made going. Tell me about its origins and what folks can hope to see on the site there.
Yeah, so we started just this year. We launched just before the season started. It really kind of began as an idea between myself and Sham Mohail, as well as we had talked to some other guys. Sham and I had connected via Piston Powered, the fan-sided website. And, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration from people who write for those sites. There's a lot expected of people for little to no pay. You know, you're expected to meet a certain quota and you don't really get any compensation. You don't really get any sort of feedback. And you end up a lot of people end up having to write stuff they don't want to write. You get a lot of clickbait type stuff. And for me, I and Sham too, we like to write more just interesting things, that things that maybe takes that people aren't writing about as much. And so that's why we put together the site. We put together, I think, a good group of Pistons writers. And that was sort of the other thing, is there's a lot of good Pistons writers out there from the different sites. And we wanted to kind of bring everybody together and allow people to really write about what they wanted to when they had the time, just provide a really interesting perspective for Pistons fans in a different way that's I don't think there really exists currently.
Right. And like you said, a nice eclectic group of writers here, some of them from the Piston Powered site of old and maybe still, and also from Detroit Bad Boys as well. And I understand you're probably maybe even looking for some more writers too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are, you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach out to the Motor City Made account or Sham and I, and give us some background on what your experience is, what you'd like to do. And you know, we'll definitely get back to you and see if you might be a good fit. We're really hoping to not just put out good content, but we also want to help people in terms of making them better writers, giving feedback, which you don't always get a lot of times, and just promoting good ideas, not just for our site, but for all the sites that people might write for, so we can get really just the best Pistons content.
And like I said, the podcast, you guys will be starting up soon, a weekly podcast too, a Pistons podcast, a great idea. I love it.
Yeah, you do a great job. You know, Sham is kind of the podcast guy more than I am. But we wanted to give a different perspective in terms of that. You know, like I said, we want to focus on our writing, because I'm an attorney, and so I'm kind of a writer by trade. And I think writing is a way to get things across that you can't in other ways. But podcasting is another great way to get opinions out there, and we want to promote that as well.
And like I've said, you know, plenty of room in the cyberspace for all of us there in the podcast world and in the website world as well. And always good to see some more interest popping up and some more ways to follow the team, like we all are here on a daily basis with Motor City Made. Now, Matt, a Pistons question or two before we let you go. We're here 6-6, 12 games into the season. Where are you at right now with the Pistons? And what I was talking about on today's podcast is some trade stuff. I mean, are you there right now? Are you one of these guys that says sell it all, strip it down? Are you wait and see a little bit with this current roster? Or are you maybe being more aggressive and going for win now? Where are you at right now?
So I would say that I was less optimistic about the team coming into the year than most people. A lot of Pistons fans were. They're about where I thought they would be, you know, a 500-ish team. They're not going to, I don't think, threaten anything. If there's a trade to be made that makes sense, I'm all for it. My issue is I just don't see how it's going to happen, because the contract situation is just not amenable to making trades. Blake Griffin's not going to get traded. I wouldn't expect, and I wouldn't want really Blake Griffin to be traded. I don't see Andre Drummond or Reggie Jackson getting moved, both because they're important to the Pistons, even though Reggie maybe hasn't played particularly well. I just don't see somebody taking on those contracts. Those contracts are more valuable, or I guess they're Reggie and Andre's production on the floor for the Pistons is more valuable to them than their contract would be to anyone else. So they would have to give up a lot of value if they made any trades. And I don't really particularly want to see them trade away any picks, because I think the ceiling of this team is pretty low. They can certainly make the playoffs. I'd be surprised if they won a playoff series. So I don't think giving away a draft pick to just guarantee your spot in the playoffs is really worth it for this team, given their salary cap situation.
Well, Matt Way from the Motor City Made podcast and also Motor City Made. You can find those guys on Twitter at MOT City Made is the handle there. Matt's Twitter handle is Way, M-A-T-T-H. Find him there. And like I said, more the merrier in as far as Pistons content out there. So, Matt, thanks for starting the site, and we look forward to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Matt. I really appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
And thanks again to Matt Way of the Motor City Made podcast and website. Looking forward to seeing what those guys do throughout the season. By the way, give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. We will be back tomorrow talking Toronto Raptors as we got a game to prepare for Wednesday night in the Great White North of Ontario. Maybe we got some Pistons fans up there. Let us know if you're going to be attending the game as well. But this is Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying enjoy the day, everyone. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.